12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Ohayou gozaimasu, minasan. So, Hebrew Jinne no Tegami, 12節から2節まで読みます。こういうわけで、このように多くの商人たちが雲のように私たちを取り巻いているのですから、私たちも一切の重荷とまつわりつく罪とを捨てて、私たちの前に置かれている競争を忍耐を持って走り続けようではありませんか。信仰の創始者であり完成者であるイエスから目を離せないでいなさい。イエスはご自分の前に置かれた喜びのゆえに恥ずかしめをものともせずに十字架を忍び神の御座の右に着座されました。
Good morning again. It's good to see some of you here. All of you here, sorry. It's good to see all of you here. Some of you guys, not so good to see. Just kidding. It's good to see all of you here. We've been going through the book of Hebrews, and we come to the close. This is the chapter right before the last chapter, and the chapter before was the Great Hall of Faith. And they talked about faithful men and women, people like Abraham, Sarah, Moses. And here, as they finish this hall of faith, it says, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, you want to check out what it's there for. This is a word that connects two thoughts. And the thought before this one that is connecting is, faithful people. My message today is simply, don't give up. Don't give up. Some of you just need to hear that. Don't give up. And he says, don't give up because, remember all the people I just listed, the names I just listed? Therefore, these people, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Don't give up. Let me pray real quick. Father, we thank you so much for your grace that allows us to run a race. We thank you, Father, that there are so many faithful here today, right now, that could have given up long ago, that had legitimate reasons to be bitter at you, Lord. But Father, they see past the hurt, the pain, the sin, the deception, and they know, Lord, we know that you are a good God. We trust you, Lord, your intentions. We trust that you are love. We thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The previous chapter was filled with examples of faith and faithful people. And these people, it seems like the writer of Hebrews is saying, is a great cloud of witnesses. A great cloud of witnesses. Now, this could perhaps mean two things. Witnesses as in these people, Abraham, Moses, Gideon, David, etc., etc., are sort of like a crowd watching us and cheering us on. Have you heard that? Have you heard that before? They are like a great cloud of witness. They're watching from above, from heaven, looking at our lives and cheering us on. And it could mean that. However, it could also mean this. As a witness, what does a witness do? They testify. A witness testifies. Meaning that if you had the chance to ask Moses, "Hey Moses, was it really worth it?" They would testify, "Yes, it was." If you ask Abraham, "You know, I saw your life. God promised you a couple of certain things, and your life didn't turn out the way maybe you thought it would turn out. Was it worth it?" And Abraham would say, "Tom, it was more than worth it. It was, you know, what I thought God was going to do, it was a million times better than my wildest imagination. In fact, if I could go back, I would do some things differently because it was so worth it." So it could be a testimony. They are a great cloud of testimony, great cloud of witnesses that would testify. You ask any one of them. You ask the ones that succeeded, and you ask the one that seemingly failed. You ask the one that became kings and conquered kingdoms, and you ask the one that were destitute, enslaved, sawn in two. Both groups of people will say, "You know what? It was more than worth it. It was well worth it. It was more than worth it. If I could go back and do my life over, I would. Not only would I follow the Lord, but if I could, I would follow Him even more faithfully, even more sacrificially, because what the Lord gave me in return for what I gave Him pales in comparison." It would be like me exchanging my bank account with like Elon Musk or who's the new guy, like the Amazon guy. That guy is like, does anyone know what I'm talking? Huh? I heard something. Okay, anyways. The exchange is so great. And all of these people would testify. They will be witnesses, and they'll testify. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, see all of these faithful people? They are surrounding us even now. And they will testify. They will witness. But whichever the case is, whichever, if they're just up there cheering us on, or if they're up there waiting to give their testimony, just like Sonoko gave such a wonderful testimony. Thank you, Sonoko, for being faithful to God, being the Jeremiah you are. We're going to hold you accountable for that. No, just kidding. But that was an amazing testimony. Thank you so much. Hopefully we could hear some more testimonies in the coming weeks. But these things, that's who they are. They are a great cloud of witness now. And the point is, they are a great cloud of witness. And the point is, don't give up. That's the message. All throughout Hebrews, the message is, don't give up. Instead of giving up, we are exhorted to do a couple things. We're exhorted to put away distraction and put away sin. And run the race before us with endurance. Put away distraction, put away sin, and run the race that's set before us with endurance. Do you wonder why here that the writer of Hebrew would say put away distraction or weight before he would say put away sin? Right? It's a technical thing, but I guess my job is sort of like to, you know, get a message out of like two verses. No, just kidding. But that's sort of my job. It's like, why is weight in front of sin? Shouldn't sin be in front of weight? Thank you, Tom. So one person, and he happens to be a pastor, too. But I believe weight, distraction, we have more control of that. And sin, although we are called to use self-control, sin is a nature problem that is less controllable than distraction. Because distraction isn't part of our nature. In fact, distraction becomes distraction because of sin. But we have more control over distraction. But when it says weight and sin is two different things. They're two different things. Weight seems, I believe, to point at distractions in our lives. And perhaps these distractions were meant to be good things to help us in our race, but have become distractions because of the priority we put on them. So all of us, we have freedom and choices, especially if you're living here in America, you have a lot of options. Granted, living in Tucson limits those options, compared to if you were living in New York or LA or something like that. You know, Tucson kind of limits your options. I'm just kidding. But we have options. We have tons of options. Oh my gosh, I can't believe how much. It's like, if you want to watch movies, man, you could watch any movie since they began making movies. At the tip of your fingers. For a couple of bucks. That probably we could all afford. Talk about options. Now, movies in itself, I don't think are a bad thing. In fact, they could be a good thing. But when they become a focus, and when a good thing becomes more than it's supposed to be, it becomes a weight in our lives. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where something happened to your life where you got bitter or angry or mad at God, and you don't even know you're mad at God. It's just, you know, you're not supposed to be mad at God. So that's sort of not there. But underneath, you're really mad at God. And so the way you treat people when you're mad at someone is what? You ignore them. Right? And so you're at church, you put in your time, you pray, you'll read your Bible, whatever it is, you'll do those things. But it's like the bare minimum threshold that you will do. I was there before. And I didn't even know I was mad at God. It's just, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to love God all the time. But the way it manifested itself was, if I had free time, that free time was not spent for God at all. I'd get immersed in football, sports, fighting. I like UFC. I don't know if that's a weight or a sin. But, you know, each and every one of us, I think we do that. And sometimes it's hard to discern. But if you're mad at God, it will manifest itself in, you know, things that probably were meant to be helpful, recreational, become a focal point in your life, and it becomes sin and it weighs you down. You use it to medicate yourself, distract yourself. You use it to get away, but in a bad way, because you're not just getting away for an hour at a time, you're getting away for like 5 hours at a time, 10 hours at a time. Some of you gamers, you know, 26 hours at a time, you're getting away, and that's not a good thing. Those are weight. These can be helpful in many ways, but when we put them before our families, when we put them before responsibilities, when we put them especially before God, these potential helping stepping stones in our lives can become weighted in our lives and slow us down in what what the writer of Hebrew calls this race that is set before us. Put away those weights. Put away those distractions. Recognize what they are and limit them. I'm not saying you can't go home and watch basketball anymore. I'm not saying you can't go home and play video games no more. I'm not saying you can't go home and do these things anymore. I'm just saying, are they recreational in stepping stones, or have they become an obsession and become a weight? Learn to recognize the difference. Sin is a completely different thing than weight. Sin is not redeemable. I believe weights are redeemable. Sin has no redeeming quality to it. We can't confuse the two. Weight and sin, they're different things. Weight are things that can be redistributed, reorganized in our lives, but sin is something we cannot tolerate. Sin is something we need to be repentant of, have a repentant attitude of. You know, weight can lead to sin. Weight can lead to sin. But sin leads to death. Sin will lead to death. It will lead to the death of your relationships. It will lead to the death of your peace, of your joy. It will lead to death. And if we're not careful, it will lead to the death of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin leads to death. It separates. In context here, the sin he's talking about, and you know, most Bibles doesn't have it, but there's in the Greek a definite article, the sin. So when I say sin here, I'm not talking about, you know, all of us, we have a certain sin we struggle with, and this is what he's telling us to remove. Of course, we should do that, but that's not actually what he's talking about, even though that is that is true. I do believe we all have a sin that we struggle with, and we should try to get rid of that. But the sin he's talking about, the number one sin that is all throughout this letter that he's referring to, is the sin of giving up and stop believing. That's what he's talking about. Get rid of the weight and get rid of the sin. Sin, though, singular, has a manifestation of a lot of different forms of sinful behavior. And those things we ought to get rid of, certainly. Get rid of the weight. Get rid of the sin that clings so closely, and let us run the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, just a side note, founder and perfecter of our faith, did you know that if you're Christian, that it's because of Jesus? He is the founder. He's the reason why you have faith to begin with. You heard his voice, you recognized his voice, and you said yes. However form that may have come to your life, Jesus is the founder, and he's also the one that's going to perfect it. Isn't that wonderful? Guess who's not going to perfect it? I'm not going to perfect your faith. You're not going to perfect my faith either. Let's get that straight. I'm not going to perfect your faith, and you're not going to perfect my faith. Jesus is going to perfect our faith. Amen? Yes. Amen. That doesn't mean we can't like point, we can't like talk to people, hey, like, I've noticed this in your life. I'm not saying we don't do that. I'm just saying stop trying to be the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be a good job at that. Anyways, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. One thing that I've observed in my own life, and you know, I think this is true for just Christianity in general, is that most of us most of the time, when we begin to walk with the Lord and become serious with God, we're very focused on getting rid of weight and getting rid of sin. And that's great. But we stop there. We stop there. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, do those things and run. So get rid of those things and run. So get rid of distraction, get rid of sin. But that's not it. I think those are the hard thing. The fun thing is running. Right? You guys, any of you guys do sports, dancing, even gaming, or any of those things? It could apply to anything. Getting rid of the weight, getting rid of the sin, is sort of like getting prepared. Getting the right shoes, getting the right gear, getting the right gaming chair, getting the right knitting stuff, getting the right, Tom likes to garden, so getting the right shears, tools, getting the right hose, and getting the right whatever it may be. But what if you just stop there, you know? I got the shoes, I got the shorts, I got the chair, I got the bat, I got the ball. And then you stop. That's just a bunch of waste of money. We've all done that too, right? We've all done all the things, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get all the good stuff, and then just stop and never continue. But the fun part is actually doing the activity. The fun part is running. The fun part is hitting. The fun part is playing, whatever it may be, dancing. Christianity, you know, it's important that you get rid of weight, you get rid of sin. But the fun part is running. And if you're not running, it's so much easier to quit and give up. Because you're missing out on all the good stuff. You're missing out on all the persecution. You're missing out on all the pain, the jeering, the mocking. You're missing out, guys. You're missing out on the good stuff if you're not moving forward. Avoiding sin and distraction is one thing, but moving forward is another. God wants us to do both. He wants us to do both. And just one thing we need to recognize is this is a marathon more than it is a sprint. Aren't you glad? No, maybe not. Some of us, we just don't like running. We might not like this analogy at all. But I'm saying, aren't you glad that this is a marathon more than a sprint? Because sprint, it takes a certain type of body strength. It's different than a marathon. Listen, everyone in here could run a marathon today. Because it really is more mental. I was looking for stories and about running, because I don't know a lot about running. I mean, I've ran. I used to run a lot. I personally don't like running. But there's a story about running that I can't find now. Shoot. Okay. But there's, you know, there's, it was like some of the most inspiring running stories, and there was a couple in their 80s running, and the lady, she ran over 100 marathon, and her husband, who was also in his 80s, ran, this was like his 20th marathon or something, and the final mile, these two older couple, they held hands and they ran together, and they crossed the finish line. And I was like, that's a good story to read. I'm going to put this on my phone and read it to you guys, but I lost it. But look, my point is, marathons are normally things, or is normally a race that you can do and you can finish if you have the mental fortitude. It's more of a mental challenge than it is a physical one. But of course, marathons will not be easy. They're designed in a way for a purpose. And I believe the writer of Hebrews makes this analogy because our Christian life is not going to be easy. It is more of a marathon of faithfulness than it is a sprint of frantic and sporadic. Anyone can be frantic and sporadic. Anyone could show up for like a week and be the super Christian for that week, and then the next week they just stop. I've seen that actually. It's a marathon. It takes discipline. It takes faithfulness. This whole book is about faith and faithfulness. And this marathon is designed to be tough, and it's designed to challenge you, because without challenge, you will never change. In anything, in any aspect of life, you could apply that. Without challenge, you will not change. And so is the walk with Christ. However, the momentary pain of our suffering, the writer of Hebrews goes on, if you read this chapter, he says, is like the same thing Jesus Christ endured. And in the same way, our life is challenging and difficult because you are being treated like a son. In fact, that is what you are in God's eyes. If you have Jesus in your heart, God sees you as a child that one day will grow up and mature and have an inheritance from the Father. And because you have such a great high calling in your life, He's disciplining us and making our lives hard and challenging so that when we have true riches in heaven, we will know how to handle those things. And the writer of Hebrews says, any good parent and every good parent does that. Now, granted, parents aren't always perfect. But that's what their purpose is, right? You ever have your dad do something like that to you? Or your mom do something like that to you? No? Do you do that to your own kids? My dad, he did that to me. I haven't really thanked him for it. I don't know if I will. I'm just kidding. But I was in junior high, I think I was 7th grade. I went to Japan, and I went to Japan for a month. And he thought it'd be a good idea if I got a part-time job while I was, you know, going to be in Japan for that long. And so the part-time job was at this used car lot, the biggest used car lot in Yoshida-machi. But this used car lot happened to be like 20 miles away. No lie, it was about 20 miles away. And so we'd wake up, me and my brother, we'd wake up early, like 5 o'clock, we'd eat breakfast, and we'd bike for like an hour and a half. This is in the summer, to the used car lot. And then our job was to wash cars at this used car lot. I don't know, man. It was for like $5 an hour. It was for pretty much peanuts. You know, and that's what we were doing. And you know, when you this was my first job. And you guys remember your first job? Usually your first job, you don't know any better but to do your best. You don't know how to slack off. You don't know how to like take it easy, pace yourself. And so this is in the heat of the summer. I'm washing as many cars as I can because that's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I literally almost passed out one time. But anyways, my dad did that, to install like hard work. I'm sure he had a lot of good reasons why he did that. But he, every father, parent, they do that. They do that. It isn't to punish you. It isn't because they don't like you. Maybe some mean parents are like that. But a loving parent will do that too. Because they love you. Because they want to install certain characteristics in you. Hard work. Being honest. Learning how to be on time. Etc., etc., etc. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, our lives as Christian is hard. I know. You want to give up? I know. You think, it seems like it's not worth it. I know. And it's saying, I know. But look at all these people that have walked with God. And if you ask any of those people that walk with God, is it really worth it? All of them will say yes. They will testify to it. And you think your life is hard now. But God, He's treating you this way, not because He doesn't love you, but because as a loving father, as a loving parent, would discipline their child, so He is disciplining you. So that when you do receive the inheritance He has for you, you will have the character and characteristics of Jesus Christ Himself. Who was able to endure one of the hardest lives to ever live with joy. And that's the last thing, the attitude. Our attitude as we walk and run this race. And it's okay to walk sometimes in a marathon, I believe. But as we walk and run this race, it's with joy, looking to Jesus Christ, who did the same thing, and who is our perfecter of our faith. Let me just say this. It is a privilege to be in this race. We were called out of the meaningless rat race of this world to run the race God set before us. Now, what does it mean? What does it look like to run? We all probably have an idea what it looks like to get rid of weight, to get rid of sin. What does it look like to run? It says, God sets this race before us. And so the way we run isn't necessarily the way Moses ran, or isn't necessarily the way Abraham ran, or isn't necessarily the way Joshua ran. They all ran different races. They all live lives following God, but if you look at their lives, it was very different. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. Moses was asked to save their firstborn son. Moses was told to lift up his hand. Joshua was told to fight. So what it looks like for each and every one of us is going to be different. The common denominator is this. It is a race, it is a marathon that is directed by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's that we recognize God's voice and we follow. Our faith began with Jesus, hearing Him. Our faith will be perfected following Him. So it just means being faithful where the Lord led you and leads you. If the Lord's leading you to be a student, be faithful there to the Lord, to Jesus Christ, with the fruit of the Spirit, of course. If it's simply calling you to be a retired, a retired man, I don't know what, if you're retired and You know, you're limited in what you can do. Be faithful where God called you. That's it. Be faithful if you're a husband, a father, a mother. Be faithful as an employee, an employer, as a pastor, as a doctor, as a teacher, etc., etc., etc. The list goes on. It doesn't have to look the same for each and every one of us. What looks the same is Jesus Christ. We keep our eyes on Him. We listen, we hear, we follow, we obey. We trust and we obey faithfully. With the fruit of the Spirit. Excelling in those things. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. To grow in those areas of our lives. And one more thing as I close. To grow in grace. To grow in grace. Just going back to the sin nature. Because all of us, we struggle with it. Not just you. I struggle with sin too. But you know what? You know what I learned about struggling with sin? It is grace that sets you free. Grace and grace alone sets you free. You want to know how to get more grace in your life to be set free from sin? Extend grace. The more grace you give, the more grace will be measured unto your life. You know, by God's grace, the sins I struggled with earlier, I don't necessarily struggle with today. By the grace of God, that's all I have to say. It's by the grace of God. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. And when I say to get more grace, you got to give more grace. It's not like I intentionally gave more grace to like accumulate enough grace to be set free from certain sins. That's not how it worked. But I know this. If you want grace in your life, extend grace. And grace is the only thing that will truly set you free from sin. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your amazing grace. The grace you extended to us, to each and every one of us. You are rich in grace, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would help us to grow in these areas of our lives. Not just to get rid of weight and sin, but to run the race that you have set before us. To run it with endurance, to run it with joy. It is a privilege, Lord, to be called in this race. Jesus, you qualified us. I pray, Father, none of us would give up. For those of us who are near giving up, I pray, God, that you would give just an added boost of encouragement not to give up. But that we would be faithful, Lord, to you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.